you guys were not here last week, raise your hand, please. Raise your hand high. Rob, would you give... Raise your hand high so you can receive that. Did you get that one? Yep.
That's the one you gave
yep.
this morning.
Here. You got one. Anyone else? Anyone didn't get? Okay. Since some of the people didn't get this, coronavirus, that's all that we hear on the news, right? It's not a black plague, okay? It kills people just like any other influenza. 2017, according to CDC, 61,000 people died just because of influenza. Where were medias? During that time, they are making this big deal out of it because they have a political agenda. And people go down, hook, line, and sinker. Karen and I went to Walmart last night to get the stuff for the church kitchen. Shelves empty. Wow. If you think this is bad, wait until what happened after rapture. We really don't care, right? Because we ain't here. They're going to have a devastating effect. They think that people are dying left and right. It is true. 50 people, one too many. And you know, every day, 2,350 babies are being killed in the United States. Those same people who cry against this whale, saving whale, but they will say, kill babies. I just don't understand their concept. Anyway, one thing I still cannot figure out, what's the toilet paper got to do with the... So I have toilet paper and hand sanitizer for sale. There will be an auction after this. Only serious high roller will make a bid. If you come up with a low bid, I have a coughing Chinese student who will sick on you. Stupidity of people. I cannot believe people go, people going for the hand sanitizer soap, I can't understand. Toilet paper, really? You going to wrap it around like a mummies? President Trump declared that today is a national day of prayer. And it is very important for us to pray. People can do whatever they can, actually. There's nothing, no cure for virus. Do you know that? Do you know anything about anybody who says, oh, I cured the cold or I cured the influenza? Nobody. They can make a vaccine. Hopefully it would work. But there's no cure. Human cannot do a lot of things. Many things. But God can. God says in the Bible, there's nothing is impossible to God. So we're going to cry out to the Lord that he may stop this pestilence. According to Matthew chapter 24, this is the sign of the end. Do you know? So be ready. Be watchful. Redemption draw near. And rapture is going to happen anytime. If you're not a born-again Christian, you better cry. You better go get the toilet paper. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we are about to receive. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart that we may hear from you. that will you restore for us. Father, we pray that your principle and precept come alive in our heart through your word. And most of all, let us live the life that brings glory to your name. We don't want just Bible knowledge. We want that Bible knowledge to come alive in our heart, that every moment we live bring praise and adoration to your holy name. We are here for your pleasure. We are here for your glory. Father, anoint our heart that we may hear, receive your word. Anoint the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word, not his opinion. Father, we pray for this coronavirus. Father, you willing, let this stop. Let this hype exaggerated by the media to be stopped. And people may seek you more than the toilet paper or anything else. It is no wonder you call people sheep. People just dumb. We are dumb, Lord. Only reason we are different is because we have the Holy Spirit who came from you. Father, we pray for the President Trump, that he may have a clear direction from you, that he may lead the country to the right place. And we pray for the politicians and judges. And we even lift up the media people. They need Jesus, Father. Desperately need Jesus. Like we need Jesus. And we pray for our troops who are especially one in the harm's way. Set the hedge of protection around them. And a couple of soldiers been killed. And another police officer got killed. Comfort the family and the friends and protect them, Lord. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand? Anyone don't have a Bible? All right. Raise your Bible with me. Let's remind ourselves. The Word of God, the absolute truth, and the final authority. Put up the index. We'll recite out loud together. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Last week's memory verse was from Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace abound much more. Romans 5:20. This week's memory verse is from Proverbs 6:27. Can a man take a fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Proverbs 6:27. Would you turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 39, please? Genesis 39, and we will stop. Temptation, the word temptation, is the oldest of the old inner conflict in human hearts. It starts from the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted Eve with the forbidden fruit. And there is not one person, including Jesus Christ, who hasn't encountered temptation. But with the exception of him, Everybody yield to the temptation. We often think that temptation is limited in the meaning to the sexual lust. It's not true. There are many other ways in which we can be tempted. Let's take a look at a couple of things. as well as the sexual kind. First one is a material temptation. It's a lust. It's a lust for things. Did you drool over your fancy, the fancy car that parked next to you? That's a temptation. Or anything. For my case, new gun, right? One time I posted this fancy gun from the Springfield Saint EDW, and I said, I'm in love. And Karen said, again? Yeah, she is still my favorite wife. That sounds horrible. Second thing is a personal temptation. It's a lust for status. Some people cannot have enough of it. Power and fame. They love that kind of thing. And third thing is a sensual temptation. It's a lust for the physical pleasure. Eskimo people have a very effective and special way to hunt those infamous Alaskan wolves. First, they sharpen the knives. Like this one. Not particularly this one. They sharpen the knives really sharp on the edge. Especially the tip. And then they applied fresh sheep blood and let it freeze. Let it be frozen. And then they apply more and more and more. In other words, they are kicking the knives with the blood of the sheep. And then they bury this into the ground, handle only, with the blade with the caked blood on the top. Then they walk away. They bury this in the familiar trail of the wolf. Note that, please. They spend the night in their own igloo without any problem. In the meanwhile, wolf comes over. And this, because even though blood was frozen, it cannot escape the ultra-sensitive nose of the wolf. And they come and start to lick the blade. As they lick the blade, their tongue, because it's so cold, their tongue become numb. And they lick and they cut the tongue. And now they taste a little bit of their own blood, warm blood. And you're thinking, this is gross, right before lunch. Yeah, listen to me. I'm getting there. As if they bleed more, their vigorous, their inner action is driving them more and more to lick that thing. Next morning, Eskimo goes out to that trail, and there's a dead wolf bleed to death, without a fight, without a chase. And you're thinking, where are you going with this gross illustration? I'm glad you asked. I find the 4 points. Number one, they put the blade in the area wolves are familiar with. I told you to pay attention to the familiar. The devil does not tempt us while we are in the fighting mode. He realized that we are in a full alert spiritually. He waits for the opportune times when our guards are down in our familiar territory. You follow me? Second point, the wolf's tongue becomes numb as it licks the frozen blade. When we get into temptation, nothing matters. We completely forget about our families, people whom we love and cherish. Most importantly, we forget our God. Third point, wolves start to bleed, but it doesn't even realize that he is the one who's bleeding. And he is the one who's licking his own blood. Once we end up in the devil's trap, we don't even realize that we are in trouble. All we're concerned about is that we want a little more of the carnal desire to be met. Fourth point. Wolves get killed by the bleeding to death. The longer we are in temptation, the harder it is for us to get out. pretty soon we are completely trapped inside, become another victim of the devil. If you use the drugs or alcohol, you know what I'm talking about. If you were in a pornography, one picture is not enough. You want more and more and more. Whether we are tempted by pornography, alcohol, or drug, or whatever, we have enough strength within us to resist and fight back if we are born again Christian. Because Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us and is a guarantee for our eternal life. Are you with me? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. We're gonna read this verse that is extremely important. Chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation. Would you underline, highlight the word no? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may able to bear it. In other words, there is no such a thing as my temptation was so great I could not help. You with me? That's a garbage excuse. We all have a capability to walk away. Why? Go to 1 John chapter 4, please. It speaks to us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, second half. According to the context, He is the Holy Spirit. He who is in you. You follow? In you is greater than he who is in the world. Who would that be? Satan. Exactly. Not only God the Father will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, and the Holy Spirit within you will help you to resist. However, if we depend on our own strength, if you think that, oh, I can do this without God's help, guess what? You go down. I told you my biggest fault is I'm a diabetic. I'm not supposed to eat a lot of carbs, right? My biggest problem is pasta and chips. So whenever I pass by, I look at the chips, I open it up. Why do I do that? Because I get tempted, I go for it. I should know better. You gotta see the way I eat when I have a spaghetti. It's like this much. My excuse is, I will drink a lot of water. Dumb. Just purely dumb, but I did it anyway. Verse 1 of chapter 39, please. Now, the Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelite who had taken him down there. And then note what it says. The Lord was with Joseph. Very important. And he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, Egyptian. And his master saw that, what again? The Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found a favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time he had made him overseer of his house, all that he had, that the Lord blessed Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Stop there, please. You know, Joseph could be bitter. When the things go wrong in your life, we have a choice. We can be bitter or we can be what? Better. We can be better in the Lord. We can learn from that problem. Or you can be bent out of shape and yelling at God and throwing your puny fist at God. But he didn't. He didn't reject God for his life, from his life. Instead of having his own pity party, God's blessing coupled with Joseph's integrity and work ethic and made his master Potiphar's house prosperous. And he earned Potiphar's absolute confidence and trust. Throughout chapter 39, we find the phrase, "The Lord was with Joseph" four times. Even his Egyptian master Potiphar noticed the hand of God in Joseph's life. That speaks a volume in integrity and the work ethic of Joseph, which we all should learn from him. I'm sure you heard it as well. Nowadays, it's hard to find a good work ethic among the young people. They clock in, clock out. They don't do anything extra and anything other than what they are told to do, not even that much. You don't earn the trust from your boss that way. Go to keep your finger in Genesis, go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, please. We are going to see a king who did not fight back against the temptation. 2 Samuel chapter 11, you guys are thinking, oh yeah, I know where you're going. Of course, it is King David. 2 Samuel chapter 11. It happened in the spring of the year. I want you to put number one at the time when the king goes out to battle. David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David remained at Jerusalem. Verse 2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, walked on the roof of the king's house, and put number 2 there, please. From the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, and wife of Uriah the Hittite?" By the way, stop there, please, for a moment. Usually, when somebody is introduced during the ancient Israel, always they said that this is the son of so-and-so or the daughter of so-and-so. But this soft-footed servant didn't stop at the genealogy. This is the daughter of so-and-so, and he added his own editorial, wife of Uriah the Hittite. In other words, he is your soldier's wife. In other words, king, don't touch, don't look at her. She's off the limit. Did he listen? No. Verse 4, please. Then, put number 3. David sent a messenger and took her. She came to him and he laid with her. So she was cleansed from her impurity and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." We find the three faults of the King David, one after another, that led him to the sin against God and against his people he entrusted to him. First one, at the time when kings go out to the battle, that king, David, sent Joab and his servant with him. David felt that he didn't need to go get into the battle, but he didn't realize that he was in the middle of the spiritual battle and he was about to lose. He had no idea he was He had a crosshair on his head. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, please. You should memorize this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, please. You there? Therefore, let him who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. If you think you got it all together, surprise, you're going to go down. In other words, don't be cocky. Second point that we should learn from King David is from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and she was very beautiful to behold. You know, we can. Nowadays, everything is visual. You cannot turn the TV on without accidentally looking at a woman half naked or a man half naked. It's one thing for you to look at it and double, it's another thing for you to double take. I said this many times. Martin Luther said this. You cannot stop the bird flying over your head, but you can certainly stop the bird making a nest on your head. You know what happened with the King David? He saw it was a glance. Glance become a stare. Stare become a leer. He just stood there. To him, the whole time was frozen. The only thing he can think about is just present moment. He didn't think about consequences. He had a chance to stop right there. It's not like he did not have a woman. He only had 300 wives and concubines. All the names he could not remember. Plus the 300 mother-in-laws. What was he thinking? Our carnal desire cannot be satisfied. If one woman is not enough, 1,000 women is not enough. The more we get, the more we want. At the moment of being sucked into the temptation, God becomes quite unreal to us. We lose all reality, and only carnal desire is real. Listen carefully, folks. Satan does not fill our heart with hatred against God at that time. But he helped us to forget about God. Are you with me? So King David chose to forget everything, including the loving God and holy God of Israel. Our God is so gracious to all of us. He wants us to stop our sin before it gets worse. If the King David stopped right there while he was staring, all right, say repentance and then move on. No, he dispatched her and he had sex with her. Even that he could stop after that. He could repent from it. Third point I brought to you is that David sent a messenger, took her and came to him and he laid with her. King David still had a choice. But he wouldn't stop to hear. Eventually, as you guys know, he had her husband get killed. And pretended he was doing a favor for her and married her and had a child. And Prophet Nathan came to him, the sword will not depart from your family. And it is true. There have been a murder, and there have been a rape, and revolution against his own father goes on. You know, people don't think about when they sin against God, they don't think about consequences. Same thing with any crimes and criminals. They don't think about the consequences. Go back to chapter 39 of the Genesis, please. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Well, that is a rather direct approach. But number one, put number one there. He refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Number two, put the number two there. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that, put number three, he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment and saying, lie with me. Put number four, please. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Again, unlike King David, we find a 4 point that we should learn. We should take heed from Joseph. First one, Joseph refused and said to his master's wife. Please remember that Joseph was a young man, full of hormone, just like anyone. He could, you know, think about it. He's away from his family. He's away from the Hebrew culture. He could have said, well, just one time. You know, maybe I'm doing a community service. He could have justified. But he didn't. He would not allow himself to fall for his master's wife's temptation. Second point. How then can I do the great wickedness and sin against God? He brought the God into the equation. And he thought about the consequence of his action would bring the shame to the name of our God. But Mrs. Potiphar isn't interested in sanctity of her marriage, nor does she care about the trust between her husband and Joseph. Only thing she interested in was having him physical to meet her physical lust now. Many times, sex between unmarried couples and extramarital adultery is nothing more than lust. It's not true love, folks. It's not like a love between husband and wife. Third point, he did not heed her or to lie with her or to be with her. Note that, please. He didn't even heed that desire to be with her. Joseph did not take any chance. He stayed away from her. Whenever we have essential desires, change the situation, change the circumstance. Fourth thing, Joseph left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. This guy cannot keep his clothing on. Remember, he had a coat of many colors? His brother took them. And now he has a garment. She took them. He didn't care. He ran away. He resisted her and ran away from her. In almost every instance, the issue of sexual lust is dealt with in the New Testament. We are told to flee and to get up and run. You know, some temptation, like a desire to have, we can resist. But sensual desire, no. You have to walk away. When it comes to the sensual lust, we are told exactly as Joseph did, get out of there. If we stay, we are likely to give in. again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, unmarried couple, they have a fornication, and I asked them, what kinds of, where were you? In the bedroom. Were there any other people? No, just two of us and knife. Really? Is that the best excuse you come up with? Maybe you shouldn't stay together at night in the bedroom? Fully sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Is that clear enough for you? Back to chapter 39 in Genesis. Verse 13. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the whole house and spoke to them, said, see, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment until with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like this, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me and to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. Stop there again, please. Mrs. Potiphar was humiliated, obviously. It's been said, heaven has no rage like to love the hatred turned, and to hell a fury like a woman scorned. So true. All the lust that she had in her heart now is turning into fury. She wants revenge for the rejection by Joseph. Go down to verse 19, please. So it was, when his master heard the word which his wife spoke to him, saying, your master did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. He was there in the prison. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him the favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of a prison did not look for anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Stop there again. I wouldn't doubt that if the keeper of the prison gave him the key to the prison, he could walk out the door. No. You know, Joseph did the right thing. After he got out of his house, everything went down the drain from then on. Have you ever had the situation, you did everything God told you to do, and the situation got worse? Do you know what I'm talking about? And you wonder, what are you doing, Lord? Are you losing control now? You're getting older? You having problem like the rest of us with the Grindelwald moment thing? No, God did not lose the control. God is not done with Joseph yet. Slide. Jerry. Hello. Wake up, brother. Thank you. Just kidding. God is putting him through more training to make him to be the way God wants. It's been said, Christians are a lot like a tea bags. You don't know what they are made of until you put them into hot water. It's not for God to know. Do you know that? He already knows what kinds of tea bag we are, pathetic ones. But He wants us to know what we are with the power of the Holy Spirit. I have five applications. Number one, do not allow yourself to be in temptation. If you somehow end up there, run away from it. If you linger, you will fall for it. Second application. There is a strong power against you while you are being tempted or sinning if you keep it in secret. You with me? And you're wondering, what are you talking about? Sin is alive and well when you keep it in secret. When you expose it, when you're facing temptation, tell you to your friend, hey, I'm being tempted. Would you help me to pray? Help me in praying with a prayer so that I will not be tempted. And if you are in sin, ask somebody to pray with you so that you can walk away from the sin and repent. If you inform other brothers and sisters in the Lord for you being tempted or in process of your sin, you will notice the power of temptation is gone and you will set free from that temptation. Number three, by yielding to temptation, we may lose in a moment what it takes a lifetime to gain. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you think it took a long time to build your reputation as a holy and righteous man by the power of God, that can go down the drain in 1 second by committing sin against the Lord. Fourth application. We must remember that Satan does not fill us with hatred against God at the time of temptation, but he helps us to forget about God. Fifth application. Temptation we experience are not more than we can handle. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:13? We have the helper from heaven above to overcome and resist, the Holy Spirit within us. Amen? Let's stand up and pray. Close your eyes, bow your head, please. Some of you might be flooding with that temptation. Some of you might be thinking that nobody would know, just a little flirtation. Guess what? God knows. You know. Your secret, your hidden secret is an open scandal in heaven. You need to stop. You need to walk away from the temptation. Confess your sin to the Lord and ask God to forgive you. Right with God. Just in case there's an unbeliever, I'm going to ask you this. You as an unbeliever, you don't have a snowball chance to fight against temptation. Because the Holy Spirit is not in you. And you may wonder, how do I get to have a Holy Spirit? By confessing your sin to the Father in heaven and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into your heart. And then you become born again Christian. Then you will have Holy Spirit within you. How do I know? You will know. Confess in your heart and receive Jesus into your heart. Do it now. If you've done that, I want you to raise your hand high. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Go with us and remind what we learned today when we face the temptation. Whether it's a temptation of lust for the things or status or sensual things. And help us to take a captive of every thought that we have to make it obedience to Christ Jesus. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.